want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. And let me just get this out there so that you are well prepared. And that is Mother's Day is coming up. You don't want to forget that that is coming up this coming Sunday. So if you haven't thought about planning for that yet, you know, maybe you're schedule's been full. You've had a lot of things going on your calendar. Edit your calendar. Make sure that you've got that all in place, because you don't want to end up in the doghouse for forgetting your Mother's Day. And some of us don't have the option of wishing our mothers happy Mother's Day anymore. And so do it a couple of times. Do it for yourself and do it for those of us who don't have that privilege anymore. So want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. You know, people who are really good at what they do, it doesn't take them nearly as long to do it as others who don't know what they're doing or are just learning what is going on. And Jits Concrete has decades and decades of experience. They have all of the tools. They have the knowledge, the expertise, and the great work ethic that they know how concrete is going to respond. They know how the time frame that they've got to work with the product. They know how to form it, to fashion it, to listen. They've done some things at Merritt Assembly of God that I thought it was just, I thought it would be done one way. They said, no, here's how we're going to make this happen. And they made it absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And so if you've got a concrete job that you are needing done, call the folks of Jits Concrete, have them come and take a look at your project and see if y'all can come to an agreement on a time frame, a scope of the project and the cost of the project. And they will make it look absolutely wonderful and functional. If you've ever had a cracked slab, that's no fun. They will put their skills to work for you, and you will be blessed that you did. 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So we are returning to Ezekiel 37. We have been looking at what happens when God breathes. And right now, Elijah, I've said that a number of times. I got Elijah on the brain, evidently. Ezekiel has received the instruction of what to say. So when you have received the instruction of what to say, I want to tell you what to do next. Say what you've been instructed to say. No matter how it's received, your job is to speak the truth in love. The recipients are the ones who are in charge of how they're going to respond to that. And I will tell you that when God tells you what he wants you to say, powerful, powerful things are going to happen. So, Ezekiel 37, verse number 7. We're going to read down to verse number 10. It says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Okay? So let's go back and look at what God had commanded him to say. Verse number 4, he said, Prophesy to these bones, say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel prophesies just like he's mentioning, and while he is speaking, because it says, and as I prophesied, so as he was making the declaration that God had commanded him to make, and that's what it says there, it was a commandment. We in modern times do not like commandments. I watched an interview that some people were doing for as long as I could handle it, and it was two people trying to dialogue away the Ten Commandments. And it was like, I just couldn't take it anymore. I was like, no, I'm done watching this. These people do not understand the power behind the commandment of the Lord. They were trying to negotiate it all away and things like that. A commandment from God is a mandate, and you can be like Jonah and try and run away from delivering that mandate, but if you're a prophet of the Lord, then you're going to speak the message that the Lord has. And so as he begins to speak, there was a noise. Now, I will tell you this, a lot of times people do not want to act until they have a full explanation and understanding of the process. They want things to already be in motion. They want to come late to the party, if you will. But God isn't working that way in Ezekiel 37. And he says that as Ezekiel was prophesying, suddenly there was a noise. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear unexpected noises, it gets my attention. There's nothing about this that said Ezekiel was creeped out about this. But as he began to speak, there was something that began to take place in that valley of dry bones. There was a noise, and then there was suddenly a rattling, and the bones started moving. That is an unusual occurrence. That means that there is power in the word of the Lord. There is power in obedience to doing what God has commanded you to do. And that when those two forces combine, that there's nothing that's going to be impossible. So the bones began to suddenly rattle. And then they started coming together bone to bone. Now, I want to take you back to a valley filled with bones. So there are multiple individuals whose collection of bones have all been grouped together in this one spot. So you've got leg bones, you've got arms, you've got ribs, you've got skulls, you've got fingers and toes and the spinal column and all of the vertebrae, and you have every bone in your body, and all of these probably thousands of bodies that are being described in this valley, and they're all beginning to quake. They're all beginning to make noise. They're beginning to move, and they join bone to bone. Now, I want to tell you what didn't happen. The bones from person A didn't become joined to person B, and the bones from person A didn't get joined to person C, D, E, F, G, or all the way through the alphabet 1,000 times over. The bones of person A began to move, and they came back into the structure they were supposed to for person A. The same happened for person B and for every other person that was represented in that situation. You see, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God doesn't make mistakes. Man makes mistakes, but God never does. Man lies, God never lies. And so, in this day and time, we have many people who are trying to get it to be the social norm that says, well, God made a mistake with me. Okay, so first of all, we were told there is no God, and there is a God. Second, we were told that humanity swam out of a tree, that we're just a cosmic accident, and that we have no purpose for being. And that contradicts the Bible that says that God has created us for a purpose from before the foundation of the world. And then we told, well, maybe we're just reincarnated beings, and the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. So you weren't born in the wrong time. The Word of God says that He determines the times and the places where you are going to live. He determines the boundaries. And so all of this society stuff and that is trying to undermine the power and the validity of God's Word. And so the Bible talks about that I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. That it's God who gives life. And then there's been this all-out assault on the inconvenience. And can I tell you something? When you are going to have a child, your life will change for the better. For the better. The world says, well, your life's going to change and it's going to be for the worse. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. There will be moments of inconvenience, but there are going to be many more moments of great joy. And God doesn't want you depriving yourself of those moments that He's designed that would bring happiness and joy and peace into your life. So there's a whole lot that society has been trying to do, and they've advanced their agenda to some degree. Now, what I want to tell you here is that God didn't make a mistake when He created you. In the valley of dry bones, He's not going to make a mistake and, whoops, I got the foot of that person mixed in with the skeleton of this person where their left shoulder was supposed to be. Oops, my bad. That is absurd. It's just not the way that God does things. God is not a God who makes mistakes. He's not a God of chaos. He's not a God of disorder. He's the perfect, holy, righteous God. He knows how he made you. He knows the purpose that he has for you. And don't settle for anything less. Now, I will tell you that there's not a person alive that is going to be able to reject God's will and their life is going to have greater nobility and purpose because they've rejected God's will. That's just not going to happen. You and I, we need God not only for the existence of our life, but for the quality of our life. The Bible says that he keeps in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed upon him. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, I'm reminded of what I was told when I was a teenager, and that is God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make anything that is not according to the way that he wanted it made. Now, we live in a fallen world, and because we live in a fallen world, there are consequences that have happened to our human anatomy, our genome, since sin entered into the garden. Okay? Again, not God's fault. But God, when he makes us, he knows exactly what he's doing. And so if you are walking around and you think that God put you together wrong, I want you to understand that what actually is going on is that there's an attempt to deceive you on the part of the enemy to stop you from becoming the spiritual dynamo that God would have you to be. And you need to fix your eyes on Jesus and surround yourself with the Word of God. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so many people, because they're hearing the wrong thing, their faith is in the wrong thing that they're hearing. They're believing. So let me tell you one of the most stark realities that ever hit me in my development, and that was when I saw a person do something, I was an eyewitness, and I called them out for their behavior, and they lied to me deliberately, intentionally, and very convincingly. They lied to my face, telling me that I didn't see what I saw. And when I realized that there were people who were lying intentionally, all of a sudden, you've got to say, if that person tells me that something is up, I've got to verify it. There is a scripture in the New Testament that says in the last days that there are going to be people who are influenced by deceiving spirits. They are going to be following deceiving spirits. So let me show you where that's at. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly, intentionally says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience, excuse me, seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God's God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So, please understand that when God put you together, he put you together with supernatural wisdom in a manner that is going to be glorifying to him. And so verse number 8, it says, indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Let me stop at verse number 8 and say this. What we have at this point in time is we have partial fulfillment of what Ezekiel's instructions had been. The prophecy he was supposed to utter, everything has come to pass. The bones are now where they're supposed to be. The muscles, the sinews, the capillaries, the nerves, everything is where it's supposed to be. The organs are all in place. They're covered over with flesh, but there's no breath. There's no breath in them. Therefore, there's no life in them. The purpose of the prophecy is you shall live. I will make you live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So we see progress, but we don't see fulfillment yet. Verse number 9, he says, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. So what God says is, now I need to I need you to prophesy again. You've prophesied to the bones, but I said I was going to have breath, I was going to have wind, I was going to have spirit come into them, and so I need you to prophesy on a, if you will allow me to you know, convert the four winds and say, on a global scale, I want you to come from all over this creation. I want you to breathe. I want the full power of the breath of God to come into these inanimate human bodies right now. I command from the power of the Lord that you breathe on these slain that they may live. That they may live. I have this desire, you know. Now, my first desire is that the Lord come back before I die. That's goal number one. The overwhelming amount of human beings that have ever lived will experience death before they get to experience the transformation at the return of Christ. But I'd really like to be part of that group that's alive. And so, if I should die before the Lord returns. So my lifestyle is this. I live as if the Lord is going to return at any moment. I am prepared to live for God no matter what this world throws at me. So if I die before the Lord returns and I am part of that, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If I'm part in that dead in Christ, I want to be buried. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with cremation, but I want to be buried. It has nothing to do with the fear of fire or having my bones burned or any of, has nothing to do with that. Has everything to do that when the Spirit of God raises me up out of that grave, I want my grave to even testify that Jesus Christ was who I said he was when I was on the earth, and that he's still who he says he is even after I'm gone. See, I think there's going to be a lot of disrupted graves. I don't think all of them are going to be disrupted because not everybody has lived for Christ. So he says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. See, Ezekiel received instructions, and he followed them. Received instructions, and he followed them. What happened when God breathed on these inanimate bodies? They came alive, but they didn't just come in back into existence. They came back into existence, spirit-empowered, by the command of the Lord, and they stood there as an army ready for marching orders. God took the place of a great defeat, transformed it into the place of a great miracle to raise up a great army. Are you ready to take your place in the body of Christ? We are not an army that carries military weapons. We are an army that carries spiritual weapons that you can read about in Ephesians chapter 6. And God's word says that he doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. And that the people who know their God, remember, that's what he says, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. The people that know their God shall do great exploits. And here's what I've come to realize. Great doesn't necessarily mean great as in the way that the world defines greatness. Great is something that God commands you to do, and you do it, and it changes people's lives for the glory of the Lord. What happens when God breathes? The dead become alive. They are raised up into an army to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that all of our churches would say, they wouldn't be excluding the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We would say, look, we need people saved. The Holy Spirit convicts people of their sins so that they're ready to accept Jesus' life. We need God the Holy Spirit in our church services. We need him in our homes. We need him in our workplaces. We need God to breathe on us, and I pray he'll breathe on you today. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
My heart.